It's one of the more common words that we say here at 10 Capital, diversify, diversification. Today, we're going to be talking through the benefits of it, given some of the geopolitical events that are happening in our world.
If you've looked at markets recently, it would be really, really tempting to just basically say, I've got a great idea. I'm going to go ahead and just go all in on the S&P. I'm going to let technology do its work, and we are just going to ride to the moon.
And but, you would have looked really smart over the last few years.
Yeah, exactly. But we want to move out a little bit. We want to expand the perspective and really want to hammer home on a topic that is near and dear to our hearts in terms of diversification. And once you do that, it's actually really, really important to see the benefits of that. I mean, if you walk through our office or have appointments with us at any point, you will have certainly heard something akin to the phrase of, if you're not upset with something in your performance lagging at any given point, then are you truly diversified? So today we want to talk about four key topics, four key reasons in terms of why it is that we want to lean into diversification.
As you mentioned, the first point I think that we want to go through, and we've put this up probably at least 1,000 times before, but we're going to keep talking about it. And I always love a picture, right? Grew up in an arts family. I learned by pictures, so I got to have a picture.
Absolutely.
So we're going to throw up on here a quilt chart, right? Because it looks like grandma's quilt hanging on the back of the on the chair. What you're going to see is that not all asset classes tend to perform at the same level every year, right? The leader of one year might be the laggard of another and vice versa.
Absolutely.
A key point that I wanted to say on here too is some people might look at this and they might look at commodities in this particular chart that we put up, or they might look at some type of fixed income instrument, a bond. They might be like, wow, why would I ever go into those? Those are just in the lower quartile, lower half of this particular chart. Regardless, it's like, well, that's because they are that. They are fixed income. They are not meant to be on the top quartile of the chart. They are not in equity. But even within the equities, you will notice how small cap and large cap and mid cap and international will go up or down depending on the year. Hence the reason we diversify, because you never know which one's going to be the top performer. Right. You might have a good idea based upon last year's performance, or if it's been a laggard for multiple years and there's no real reason as to why it has been a laggard. Right?
Yeah.
That's a good indication that, hey, this might be a good buying opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right? Or overweight that particular asset class.
Great point. And I would say if you look and say, hey, here's a portfolio that has diversification across it, you need to talk like 50% US equities, you look at like maybe 20% international stocks, you've got 20% bonds and 10% alts or those sorts of things. If you look at how that performs relative to the quilt chart, then what you're gonna see
it's
is
called balanced on the quilt chart.
Exactly, yeah. And is it always the top performer? No. Is it always the bottom performer? Heck no. You're actually saying we're gonna stay in the game, right? And the baseball analogy it works really well here. You know, lots of doubles, lots of singles.
Getting on base every year.
Exactly, you're staying in the game. That portfolio mitigates out a lot of volatility.
Well, and not only that, it doesn't mean that you won't get to the ultimate point that you want to be from an annualized return perspective.
Correct.
Right? What we're hoping to do is just smooth out that ride and be able to help our clients and our investors. There's a psychological impact to having the whipsaw, right? When you look at some of these individual asset classes on here, there's a psychological impact, right? And that's what makes it when you have concentration risk in particular asset classes or individual equities that make you go, oh crud, like I'm uncomfortable with this now and I have exposure, right?
Yeah.
And everybody wants that exposure when it's going up,
right?
Now they want that asset class, they want that concentration risk when it means they're getting a return for it.
Yep.
But now when we're seeing a reversal of that, I think is when they don't. And this is a perfect example this year, right? Really in 25 and going into now 26, the first part of 26, when we're seeing international has been a laggard. It's been one of those asset classes you're like, please, dear God, we need some performance from international, right? And large cap has been the performer. So to now see that reversal where we're seeing a lot of types of international that we invest in be up around 30% last year when we're looking at IEFA, right? All Country World Index, those things be up 30%. And it's been an interesting week, I'll say. We're filming this right after the Iran war started, right? So international is getting hit, but international was up pre-bombing of Iran, was up, you know, 4-5%.
Yeah, we're seeing that trend continue.
Where the S&P was flat.
26, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we're seeing that trend continue.
Yeah, well, and going back to that first comment of like, hey, I'm in on the S&P, right? And you look and you could say in 2025, that's fantastic. That was, you know, S&P was up 16 to 19%, right?
Yeah.
But then if you cross the ponds, then you're looking, you're saying, actually, IFA is up 28 to 30%.
Yeah, it's ironic a little bit, but not so much, that we're seeing value outperform, we're seeing international outperform, right? And all that could change with some black swan event or a continued Iran war.
Correct.
But it is, it's an interesting correlation right now.
Yeah, which, I mean, so then that goes into this whole idea of like market cap weighting and basically saying that the larger the company is, the more participation, the more sway it has in what is going on over the course of events. Well, we've seen that be tremendously overweighted right now, mm-hmm. right? And so it's easy for us to basically say, we're just, again, we're gonna ride those top companies. And the reality is that leadership changes.
Yeah.
Right, it continues to change. And so it's really important to look and also say what truly is then an equal weight of every single one of those 500 companies.
Think of it like this. The S&P as an index can be positive for the year, yep. where 493 companies in the index can be negative
could
that
be
year
negative.
From a return perspective.
Exactly.
And seven of the 500 can be positive. Yep. And because they make up such a massive concentration
yep.
of that index, yep. a higher percentage of the total index, mm-hmm. they pull that return up and make it positive, right?
Correct. Yeah.
The fact that we're now seeing that broaden out mm-hmm. and the return of the index is not coming from the concentration of the top 7 or 10 holdings,
yeah, it's coming
but
from
more
the
from the 493
weight.
To 490
exactly.
is a good thing.
It is a good thing. Well, I think you're moving towards point four. I mean, I think this is the first time in history where almost all of those Mag 7s are tech companies
yeah.
in one sense or another.
Right? Or have a concentration to tech, right? Like, yeah, they're definitely
exactly.
tech-driven.
Yeah, and a good example of that concentration risk that we've just seen is the introduction of Anthropic mm-hmm. and then its influence on either software developers or those sorts of things. You look at Microsoft, sold off $360 million. In basically a couple of days,
yeah.
right? That's concentration risk,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, anything else on the concentration risk? Obviously, technology went through a bubble before. I wouldn't say that we're necessarily in a bubble. I think we're seeing things overvalued
yeah.
to a certain degree. I don't know as that I see, again, that this means it's a bubble. I do think there's still room to grow and there's definitely development. I mean, it's crazy to think of what will be developed in the next 6 to 9 months.
I think it's likely that there will be bubbles, mm-hmm. right? In terms of certain companies are gonna, like their price to earnings ratios, the financial metrics just don't make sense, right?
Correct.
So they will burst.
Yeah.
That's why we don't talk about individual stock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want to make sure we're diversified in a sector.
In a sector.
Right? I think the interesting thing about AI and tech in general is that it's going to create a lot of efficiency,
yep.
right? There's always the threat, we've heard it both ways, there's the threat of it pulls from jobs.
Correct.
Right, but then as we saw in a chart yesterday, it actually, within the tech sector, right,
yeah.
within software development, there was actually an 11% increase
exactly.
in job growth.
Yes.
Which was pretty interesting to me that we're seeing AI be introduced, yet we're seeing an increase in hiring and job growth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a change. It's a disruptor, you know, and we've seen disruptors throughout history. So takeaways really is, I mean, honestly, one of the big things is leadership always changes in terms of your top performer, right? And so, to go ahead and say we're going to make the bet on that, that's the right place to be. That to me goes against the idea of timing the market, not timing the market and spending time in the market.
Yeah.
Really, that's, again.
Yeah, it's not about timing the market, but time in the market.
Time in the market. And if you try to time it and say we're going to catch the top performer year in and year out, that sort of stuff. I know, exactly. And you're chasing the wind on that one, I think.
Well, good. Well, thank you for taking the time to listen to us ramble on for a little bit this Friday. Hopefully you have a wonderful weekend. If you have any questions about what we discussed, feel free to reach out to your advisor here at 10 Capital.
Thanks.
Ten Capital is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinion, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties, express or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.